was good. You believe he knows your name? I give you a little glimpse into the message this morning. If you were here, if you weren't, I'll give you another glimpse. At the end of this service tonight, I'm going to ask everyone who wants to be recreated to come up. Don't get shook. I know when you were saved, you were recreated. How many knows you became new in Jesus? But there are times when the Bible says that we need to be remade for purpose by God. Do you understand what I'm saying? In Jeremiah chapter 18, the Bible says this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. He was saying, I'm going to show you something there. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working on at the wheel. But the pot that he had shaped from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed. Here's the key phrases tonight. Best to him. Everyone look at me and say this with me. Best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel. This is the prophet Jeremiah speaking to Israel, as pertinent today to you as it was to the house of Israel. The question they ask, can I not do with you as this potter does, declared the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. How many would like to be recreated tonight? Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. And I'm just going to read my outline to you and notes to you. I'll go anywhere you want me to go, dear Lord. Does it ring a bell with you? I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. How long has it been since we've sang that chorus in church? I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plains, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. It's a question that we don't even ask in churches today. There was a day in America and day in churches that almost every service we offered a time of surrender for people to come up and literally say, from this second on, the rest of my life, it's not me, God, it's you that's directing my every path. I'll get up in the morning, I'll get dressed, I'll go to work, I'll do exactly like I've been doing, but I'm going to do it under the auspices of the hand of the potter on me. I'm going to let God direct me from this day forward. I've been in services and have been part of services all my life where our young people were called into ministry by that song. Have you ever been there? I've been there where missionaries have been called to mission work by that song. I've been there where intercessory prayer warriors have been called to intercessory prayer through that song. And servants of the Most High God, Sunday school teachers and choir members, and the people that have served God on a regular basis by that song, by just simply saying this, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll say what you want me to say. But what it was saying was simply this, I have decided that I'm going to yield my life so completely to you, Father, that I don't even have an opinion anymore as to what my life will be. It will be in your hands. Rarely do we hear these words anymore. We are so busy with life, and if we do find time for spiritual things, all too often we're consumed by someone's book of righteous recipes tailored to what we want to accomplish for God rather than yielding our lives as sacrificial instruments or vessels for God's plan for our life. Do you know the church in Christendom today is so full of books that people are writing that you can decide what you want to be in God. You go get the book, you read the recipe, and then you be what you want to be. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This isn't the Army. This isn't the United States Army, and this isn't the democracy of the United States that you can just be and do anything you want to. In the kingdom of God, God has a specific purpose for you. And anything that you try to be outside of that purpose, you're a misfit and you're a marred vessel. You're not what God wants you to be. God has such a plan of perfection for your life. And many times we in our heart decide because we see the book and we got the recipe and we've seen somebody else have success at it or another church have success at it or another group of people have success or someone that we look at and think, I can do that. I want to tell you this. Anything that you think you can do in the kingdom of God isn't worth doing. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ Jesus, not through ourselves. And the day of creating ourselves to be little servants of God has got to come to an end for God to be able to use us in a mighty way. You see, the days of us creating ourselves in the eyes of God and being what we think we ought to be, what we fit in, what I'm comfortable with, what my talents and gifts are. My friends, I don't know anybody on the face of this earth that's ever been used by God that was used because of their talents and gifts. It was because of their persistence and sacrifice to God and willingness to yield their lives. There's a term we're not hearing near enough of in Christendom today, is yielding our life to Jesus Christ, becoming clay in the potter's hand. The Bible says for us to yield ourselves and to trust in Him and to understand the value of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power in our lives is from God and not from us. You see, when you yield your life to God, and you come before Him and say, God, I'm tired of pretending, or I'm tired of being, I'm tired of making myself or creating myself. My friends, listen to me. This cookie cutter Christianity is a flawed message. God never intended one of you to be like the other. He intended you all to be unique. He intended you all to be who you are. And when I see this stamped out, same word, same language, same answer, same scripture, and don't even have any depth of understanding of the true move of God in lives, I see nothing but a cookie cutter mentality, and that was never the idea for the Almighty Creator. He said, I have got a plan for you as an individual that's so tailor-made for you. If you'll yield your life to me instead of trying to create yourself in the kingdom of God, I'll do great exploits through you. But God wants yielded lives. He said this, Paul said it, we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's you. You're a jar of clay that's been created by the Most High God. That this all-surpassing power that's in us is not from us, but from God. Listen to me. When you yield yourself to God, when you say, God, I'm done making me what I want to be in the kingdom of God. I'm giving my life to you now to be what you want me to be. Then we're able to stand the fiery darts of hell with power in our life instead of running from them. Paul continued to say this, for we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. You see, when you yield your heart to Jesus Christ and you let Him shape you, yes, you're going to be hard-pressed in this world. Who isn't? But you're not going to be crushed because you have yielded yourself to be molded and shaped by the Master. You're perplexed. but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. That's saying very simply that we are going to have persecutions. We're going to be pressured. We're going to have things come against us. But we have been recreated by the hand of the great master. We've yielded ourselves to him so completely that he has created us into an indestructible vessel for him that does nothing but carry the mission that he created for us to carry until the day he takes us home. God is going to take care of you. I told you about this scripture very quickly. I'm going to allude to in the fifth chapter of Daniel, how Belshazzar, this grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, who paid no attention to the great miracles that happened. Dr. Dimbo talked about this morning in Jeremiah. Ezekiel, just Wednesday, I preached to you about that from Ezekiel. It was the same pattern. It was a parallel scripture. It's the same thing God's trying to tell us in this church right now. God is telling us that he is preparing vessels for the master's use in the sanctuary. And he's telling us how to get it done. He's telling us in prophetic word. He's telling us in the preached word from people on the outside. He's telling us from preached word from your pastor. He's telling us through his word that's coming to you as individuals. And he's saying this: I'm getting ready to make a church that's without spot or without wrinkle, that's holy and acceptable. And then I'm going to fill them with the oil of the Holy Ghost. But they're going to be my vessels. They're not going to be their own. Belshazzar in chapter 5 had a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles, and they drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. This is when Babylon came in 586. I just used that same date Wednesday night. We went over the same scriptures. We went over the same date parallels as Dr. Denbo did. And then tonight, the capstone on top of all of this, he said that time when Nebuchadnezzar took it over, he promised that there would be a time, there would be a date as specific as an end to the takeover and end to the Babylonian conquest. He said in 70 years things are going to change. And if you had a stopwatch to the second, you could have said it, because God has times and dates and seasons. And I'm here to tell you that as surely as almost 6 years ago, when we met for the first time in the basement of the Studio City Cafe, till this time tonight, God's stopwatch started, and it was starting for one reason. It was to mold us and make us and shape us and wash us and fill us so he can use us. Yeah. It's part of the plan of God. All we have to do is stick with the plan, not our plan. And the Bible says, so they brought in the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and all the kings and the nobles and the wives and concubines drank from them. And listen to this. They tried to defile the vessels. My friends, listen to me and listen close. You have been subject to every phony, baloney doctrine that's going. Listen to me and listen to me. When Jesus comes, this junk that's being preached from the platform that takes away from the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ is going to burn with this earth. It's going to go away with it. Hold on. on to the everlasting. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to what's real and get away from the junk that's permeating the platforms today that talks about you, 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 you. We just said it. He said that we have a treasure in this earthen vessel, but it's not of ourselves. It's because of Jesus. He recreated you. When you were saved, the Word of God says that you, behold, old things were past, and how much was new? All things. Isn't that what it said? It said that you have become a new what? A new creature, a new creation. You've been remade, reformed, put back on the wheel, reshaped into something of value for God. And as long as we don't try to make ourselves something, and we don't try to create ourselves to be by the baloney and the doctrines that are in the church world today. My friends, listen to me. The world out there isn't your enemy as much as false doctrine is your enemy. The world isn't your enemy as much as someone that's trying to take the message of Jesus Christ away from you and distort it with false doctrines that take away from the blood covering and the redemptive power of the name of Jesus Christ. We have a job to do. The world is lost and dying and going to hell, and we must tell them that Jesus saves. And we've got to do it with an authority and a power that the Holy Ghost that's in this vessel reaches out and grabs them and brings them into a place of salvation and redemption. We can't do it if it's all about you. You can't do it if it's all about you. You can't do it if you're trying to become a designer Christian instead of a sacrificial servant of Jesus Christ. If it's about you, it's wrong. That's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. This is not about us. This is about being a servant to the Most High God till the day He calls you home. And my friends, He has got a party waiting for the faithful. Didn't we hear about faithfulness this morning? The power of faithfulness. We have a great hope awaiting us, but all He's asking us to do between now and there and that little span of time is be faithful.
Yes.
Be faithful. Belshazzar drank the wine. They praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze and iron and wood and stone. They tried everything in their power to defile the vessels. They tried to show they weren't holy. They tried to show they weren't special. Look around you. Look at the world today. The world's saying there's nothing special about being a Christian. There's nothing special about being holy. There's nothing special about separating yourself from the world. In fact, the world will look at you today, and secular world, and even the Christian world will look at you today and say that you're being self-righteous if you take a stand of holiness. It'll say that you're not a team player with other churches and other denominations if you don't go along with every piece of Latin this time, baloney, that comes out. And someone tries to tell you, if you read the newest book and what we're all doing, and we have to do this in order to have this church grow and to do, that isn't true. Let me tell you something. It's not by might, and it's not by power. It's not by marketing, and it's not by popularity. It's still by the Holy Ghost. It's still by the Spirit of God. It always has been, and any other way is a self-shaped vessel. God isn't any part of that. Nebuchadnezzar tried to defile it. There'll be things that try to defile you and tell you there's an easier road, there's an easier path, there's an easier way. You don't have to do it this way. You don't have to be separate. You don't have to live a life of holiness. You don't have to take these things out of your life. But I'm here to tell you that holiness is still holiness. It hasn't changed. Godliness is still godliness. It hasn't changed. And God still requires people that He uses to have a certain set. You know the difference between people that are used by God and people that aren't used by God? I can tell you. Here's how God chooses the ones He uses. No, that's not how it happens. That's how we think it happens. His divine providence is just in the dark. I'll take that one. What, who was it? I don't care. Just if I touch him, he's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. That's not how God does it. I'm going to tell you how he does it. He takes the ones that keep coming back. The ones that keep going, that keep doing, that keep asking, that keep knocking, that keep seeking, that keep praying, that keep saying yes when God offers opportunity, that keeps doing the little, the ones that aren't concerned about themselves, the ones that aren't talking about other people, the ones that have thrown gossip out the door, the ones that aren't backbiters, the ones that aren't troublemakers, the ones that love Jesus more than they love themselves, the ones that want to see the kingdom grow, not themselves grow, the ones that are pure in their heart and righteous before God. When God sees that, after a while, he says, bring that young one in and pour the horn of the oil on him. I know he's not the only oldest one, but man looks on the outward appearance. I'm still looking on the heart.
Yes.
Nothing's changed. You know what we were doing up here tonight? I tell you what we were doing up here. We were praising God. Tell you what the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this. He said, these vessels are being cleansed, they're being washed right now in my presence. In my presence, they're being cleansed right now. And as they're being cleansed, they need to be cleansed for me in order for me to recreate them tonight. And when you were praising him and worshiping him tonight, lifting your hands for him, and you were giving yourself to him tonight, he was washing you and he was recreating, getting you ready to recreate you in his presence tonight. Bible says that all of a sudden, in chapter 5, the finger of a man's hand appeared against the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal place. One of the great old preachers preached a message on the lampstand from Jerusalem. He said even the lampstand they took out of the temple of God was lit and illuminated the hands and the fingers of the Almighty Elohim as he appeared and wrote, meeny, meeny, tinkle, you farson, on the plaster of the wall. And that prophet came in when no one else can do it. Let me tell you something, my friends. When the world can't read the handwriting on the wall, there's always a Holy Ghost-filled man or woman of God that he's got over here in the wings. You say, well, Daniel wasn't being used for a long time. It was a long time between Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. There was, but that ministry was still hot. It was still ready. It was still on tap. It was still turned on. And he was the same vessel he was in the day of Nebuchadnezzar, because they brought him in. They offered him a third place in the kingdom. And he said, hang on to it, Belshazzar. Two reasons. I don't want your gold and I don't want your silver. Over, and you're not going to have it more than about 5 hours yourself. All I want to do is just be a servant of the Most High God. Yeah. It says you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. But as for me, I'll be here when Cyrus takes over. I got a lion's den to go to, and I got to see power in my life. My friends, listen to me. God was reserving that prophet to walk right into a den of lions and hear them say, oh, Daniel, you who faithfully serve God, are you aware, awake? Are you alive? Did it work? And he said, oh, King, live forever. My God has heard my cry. He's heard my plea. He's answered me, and I'm a faithful vessel of God. It's because he kept on. He kept on. You see, it's a matter of living your life, listen to this closely, everyone. It's a matter of living your life with significance or living our lives our way, believing God will accept our will over His. If you are the captain of your ship, you need to give up your commission tonight. If you're going back to the beginning, if we're going back to the beginning, then we need to understand that we haven't moved ahead. We as a church of God have fallen behind and taken control of something we can't control or understand or accomplish outside of surrender. Tonight is the night of total surrender to Jesus. Giving yourself without reservation or direction or restraint, of your wants, desires, or wisdom, just like a vessel for His service, the way Jesus intended for your life to be. Tonight we're going to say this: I'll go, I'll do, I'll say, and I'll be what you want me to be like never before. You see, I'm going to be anointing you with an anointing of surrender and a yielded life, taking your hands and offering to God, anointing you and saying, God, here's your life. How did this come about? It came about, like I told you this morning, in a conversation I had with God. I said, Father God, more than anything in this world, I want significance in my life. And all of a sudden, it came out of my mouth. I said, Lord, I want to start all over again. And He said, all right, what do you want to be this time? That happened to me this week. It was almost like He was saying, okay, I'll let you call the shots. I'll let you say what you wanted to be. Not other than a pastor. I'm not saying I call myself to be a pastor. I'm just saying as a pastor. I found that I was telling God, fashioning myself, what I thought I could be to help Him. You ever helped Him? If you have, say yes. And this time I said, God, I just want to start all over. And He said, okay, what do you want to be this time? And I said, this answer. I wrote it down. And I said nothing. What do you want to be this time? I said nothing. I just want you to make me what you want me to be. The clay in the potter's hands. Stand to your feet with me.